Any more public comment on anything? Okay. Nothing else on consent agenda?
Before you go on?
Yeah, I don't think we've had another.
No, we need to, motion to approve.
At this time, Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the minutes of December the 4th of 2012. Although at the time not sworn in as on the Board of County Commissioners, I was in attendance in that meeting and do agree that the minutes do go ahead and reflect the meeting of that day.
I second the motion, and I also submit that I was in the audience, but not a commissioner at the time, and I believe the minutes do reflect the tenor of the meeting.
Very good. I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Consent agenda. Does anyone have any questions or anything else on consent? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Do we have to do anything with on that?
Yeah, we need a motion on to approve the consent agenda.
Accept the consent. All right.
Yeah.
At this time, Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept the consent agenda as posted.
All righty.
Yeah. Okay.
Sean, you might grab on that door.
Thanks. I made a motion that we accept the agenda.
I thought I seconded that.
Did you?
I did.
Okay, a motion. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All righty, cool. Okay, moving right along now. Staff and committee, let's see. Let me find everyone back here. Holly, start from the back here. You can, yeah. I hate making you all walk up, but Vanessa doesn't get a very good recording.
All right. Just one real quick thing. I will have salaries for the previous year posted on the website by the end of next week. So you can find that on the HR page. And then I have posted for my position today, so you'll see that in the next paper, not this Friday's paper, the following paper, and we'll get that up on the website as soon as the kinks are worked out with the website. So, like I said before, it's been great working with you guys, and hopefully I'll see you all soon. Thanks.
Thanks, Holly. Denny.
Happenings going on last week.
What are you trying to convince me you've been busy?
Well, yes. It's only been a week, Mr. Chairman, but I'm earning my paycheck. So, amongst what others may think. But actually, yeah, a couple things I got there for you is our first release of our event calendar for 2013. It's somewhat of a rough draft. We still have some events, like I mentioned last week, that have not finalized their paperwork to get put on our event calendar, so I didn't want to have to take them back off if it didn't work out. But we'll reprint this and put it out again in probably April. We're just going through about 5,000 copies right now just to get the word out, mostly for planning for a lot of hoteliers. We've got people wanting to know what's going on each week so they can book their hotel rooms. The other piece of paper that I handed you guys is, I think we spoke about this at our Tourism Commission meeting, is on January 31st. We're going to have a social media workshop. We're going to actually contract out with RKPR to do a special workshop for our merchants, for our attractions, our hoteliers, a way to, and it's open to the public as well, to come in and to learn about how to set up your own, how to manage Facebook, Twitter, and other social media avenues. And then the second half of that will be how to integrate it and work with the tourism office, with my office there, and the way we can all work on a positive message together and help get their word out as well. Not every one of the businesses on C Street here can afford a public relations firm like we've hired, but so we want to make the most of it and get that out. I think it'll be very beneficial. The last thing I'll mention just quickly is also we met with
Isabella Hunt. She's coordinated a cooperative effort with the University of Nevada, some volunteers on an archaeological dig that we're going to be digging underneath the Crystal Bar. Once we get it all set up, and we're going to set up a video camera in the visitor center so the tourists can come in and can watch downstairs what's going on. But there'll be more as we finish the planning for that that I'll let the public know. But it'd be kind of neat, something right there in the middle of town that people can view. That's all I got.
Cool. Yeah, this drew some interest this morning at the fourth ward meeting, by the way. Oh, Gary. I know you've said enough already this morning.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, honorable board members. Just to update you from our last meeting last week, we continue to work with Far West Engineering to redo our insurance services organization's mapping. We have very good news on that front. The insurance services organization has finally kind of come to the 20th century, at least, and said that we can submit computer modeling fire hydrant maps. And that good news is that we won't be flowing hydrants annually anymore. So those residents that we've probably blown up their water heaters or damaged their streets or their roofs or any of those fun things that they hate us for, we won't have to do anymore. So that's truly great news for us. This last Wednesday, I don't think Dave Ballard's here, so I'll kind of speak to this, is we took a road trip down to Davis, California. Davis uses the same computer-aided dispatch system that we do. They use the same software that we do. They're a very good comparable agency to look at if we were to negotiate with Central Lyon County for dispatch services. About the same number of 5,000 calls per year for fire and EMS, right around 30,000 law enforcement calls. And they contract with the University of Davis, so they've got some mutual operating understandings and interlocal agreement contracts in place that we were able to borrow and we'll build off of when we move forward, hopefully, with the Central Lyon County Fire Protection EMS, our Fire Protection District, for their dispatch services in Story County. We're meeting later this month to start crafting that language for that agreement. I briefed you last week that we had updated our controlled substance policies. We ran into one little hiccup. The DEA is an interesting animal in that I can buy narcotics from Mike's Pharmacy in Carson City, but I can't return them to Mike's Pharmacy, so they can sell them, but they can't take them back when they're expired. Fortunately, we worked with Tad and Mill, Sergeant Keener at the Sheriff's Office, and they're going to partner with us. They have a DEA return system, and that was the last kind of piece of that puzzle, so that controlled substance policy is all up to date and working very well. And just informational purposes, we have received an Office of Traffic Safety grant for just a little over $27,000 to purchase new auto extrication equipment for the Mark Twain Fire Station. The older equipment was dated, but primarily it wouldn't cut the new steels and the new vehicles, Mercedes, BMWs, Audis, some of those vehicles. This new equipment allows to do that without having to send resources from Virginia City or depend on our neighbors in Central Lyon County. So that's a good benefit for that grant. And then we also received a healthcare EMS grant through state EMS, as well as pool, that allowed us to purchase two more automatic load gurneys. We had three, we have five ambulances, so we were able to outfit the last two ambulances with these auto load gurneys. I don't know, most people have never done this, but when you try to move a patient onto a gurney, it's very difficult, and then you have to lift that gurney, so the gurney's 80 pounds plus the patient's weight, and we've had some back injuries in the past. Since we put these original three in, we have had zero back injuries from that. That was a great grant, and then that grant also covers some additional training adjuncts that are going to be very beneficial on the 12-lead EKGs, cardiac pacing. We don't have any mannequins that will do that currently, so we'll be able to purchase those and get those in service. And Denny's social media thing, I appreciate that, Denny, but my 12-year-old's teaching me about all that, so I think I'll be okay. That's all I had. Thank you.
Joe, come on up if you got anything.
Thank God for grandchildren.
Yeah.
Teach you how to do that stuff.
Joe Curtis, Story County Emergency Management.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we have two focus points that we have embarked upon here in the last couple of weeks. Now, one of them is, as I mentioned to you in our last meeting, is that we are at a point in time where we have to update our hazard mitigation plan for the county, which involves the five primary areas that we are concerned with in terms of potential disaster, which is earthquake, fire, wildland fire, flood, winter storm, and wind storms. And we had our first meeting last
Wednesday.
Thank you. Wednesday, formulating that committee that meets to put that update together. The second point is we had a meeting yesterday that we will be focusing on one of our quarterly exercises that we are planning in advance for. We have one that we're planning as a functional exercise of evacuation of the Highlands as an exercise, which will occur sometime into this year, more in the spring or summerish. And the other one is that we met on the other day is that we're focusing with and working with the Comstock Mining Company to hold an exercise at this point, tentatively on May 4th, that will focus on a potential disaster that would be designed around the use of cyanide and their cyanide functions. So that will be an exercise that will actually involve the usage of personnel from Carson, Douglas, Lyon, and Story counties as part of the Quad County Hazardous Materials Exercise quarterly requirements that we have. And so we're focusing on that and moving forward that. We had members of the Comstock Mining personnel with us in that meeting to be able to work with us on that. They are proving to be a good working partner. And that's basically all I have, unless you have any questions. Questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Jen? Jen? Jennifer, the keeper of moldy books.
They're not moldy. Yeah. And actually, that's a point that I wanted to kind of discuss. I've had several inquiries over the past couple weeks, so I thought that I would just take a minute to reiterate some of basically what we do. Basically, the recorder's office is the keeper and the protector of the county records. Yes, maintaining one of the most historically significant libraries in this county. Our office provides a single location in which records of real rights are recorded and may be researched. These real rights include deeds, mortgages, liens, plats and maps, and more. Location and grantor-grantee indexes are maintained to allow research capabilities. Our office provides an extremely important service to the citizens and is important in the legal structure of society, where the right to own property under our system of government is protected, maintained, and accessible. Without access to localized property ownership information, other freedoms would soon be affected, especially those freedoms that allow us to borrow money, invest, or purchase new properties. This alone is why meticulous record keeping of local county recorders' offices is so important. Without these records of the past, there is really no foundation on which to build our future. We, members and volunteers of our office, feel very strongly about maintaining these local land records to ensure that our records are current, legible, and accessible. We are and have been striving to open up these records to the public and any interested person. And just kind of a few things that we've accomplished in the office since I've been there is we've been able to back index several years and redact and release 11 years of records online. We're getting ready to release another two, which would put us back at the mid-90s. It might not seem like such a huge, incredible feat, but these are thousands and thousands of images that we've had to check individually, looking for personal information before we put it out there. It's very time-consuming. We've been seeking conservation education, and we've been working with conservators throughout the United States to assist us in different preservation activities and projects in the office. Even still, we are active within the Recorders Network throughout the state and have been actively working with Carson City, Washoe, and Douglas counties to help basically draw up legislative bills. I play an active part in this process, as this year I was elected Vice President of the Recorders Association of Nevada. And then last but not least, we've written grants and we've been actively seeking grants to undertake some of the little projects in our office. A big, as I said last time, thank you to the SHRAB Board, the State Historic Records Advisory Board, for their communication and their support in basically helping us to get one of our projects up and going. Basically, we're starting to take a more applied approach to managing and providing access to the county's historic records. This was a digitizing project that allows for basic protection, preservation, and management of these historically important documents while creating access to digital surrogates. Some of these include original medical certificates, death certificates, oaths, appointments, maps, net proceeds of mines, and many of clerk records that include court cases. So we're really very excited about having a digital surrogate to not only provide the public for research capabilities, but also to help us maintain and protect these invaluable records. While this project in itself is just the startup of this project, it's something that it will be ongoing. And we are always searching out people to stop by and ask more questions. We also now, we're very happy. We've, after trouble filling a vacancy in our office, I am also very happy to announce that we have a new member on board, Marnie Hansen. So, should anybody want to come in, we'd love to introduce you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jen. Mike?
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, and members of the audience, geez, I got a chance to speak before Dean today. That's an incredible feat here, Dean. I just have a few things, basically informational type items. As I mentioned last week, our equipment and shop supervisor is retiring the end of February. Today, Holly posted an internal announcement for that vacancy, and we hope to do an internal promotion from existing staff into Steve's position and then backfill behind that. So that closes the end of the month, so gives us a little chance to, while Steve's still around, you know, work a new person in and find out what's up, so to speak. And I know we'll move forward and without any hiccups there. Second thing is for many, many years, this county has enjoyed a subsidy from the Nevada Department of Transportation regarding materials used during winter storms, and specifically salt and sand that we utilize. We've never had to replenish or pay for. I was asked to attend a meeting last Tuesday with the District 2 Maintenance Supervisor Jason Marty and was informed that from this point forward they will no longer be in a position to subsidize any county, for that matter, with salt and sand used during winter storms. So we'll have to replenish that in a timely fashion and probably in the springtime. There's some good news and bad news there. The good news is the fact that we can buy the material on their contract and have it delivered here to Virginia City and the industrial park where that
stuff. Are still using our dirt lot to store theirs on?
Yeah. We'll keep track of some of our hours.
Keep track of some of that because
we need to work together, and I can understand, you know. Worst case scenario, if we had a real heavy winter, you know, we might be talking 20 to 25,000 worth of material, you know, and that includes transportation costs getting it up here on the mountain. So I just wanted to make mention of that. We did experience some equipment troubles during these past storms. In fact, Friday evening and into Saturday, we were down to one plow and sander here up on the mountain. We lost a front end in a KW snow plow that's the primary plow here in town. And so we've taken that vehicle down to Silver State International and Sparks to have it repaired. It should be back up here by the week's end. And we had some hydraulic issues with our blade, but Steve and Fran will have that back online probably tomorrow sometime. So, another thing that has happened in the last week is we've had some propane issues with a new vendor. On July 1st, we entered into a contract with Feral Gas, and we experienced some outages here, both in the courthouse and Piper's Opera House. And, it's just them getting to realize, you know, that we have old historic structures up here that have high ceilings that aren't well insulated. And during those periods of freezing temperatures, you know, we suck up the propane rather rapidly. I mean, although we have two tanks both on this building and the Piper's next door, you know, it sometimes doesn't take long when temperatures are, you know, in the single digits to go through quite a bit of propane. We were able to discover it when Hugh came in on Saturday and smelled a little bit of propane. The good news is within about an hour and a half, they had a delivery truck up here on the mountain and had us taken care of. I met the driver here. You know, we went through the building, made sure all the furnaces were up and operational. So I had made contact with our contact person at Farrell, Jay Reed, and had a good conversation with him yesterday regarding these issues, and he assured me that they won't let this happen again. So we're going to take a proactive approach as well, and we'll be checking these tanks a little bit more regularly to make sure. The only other thing with the cold weather, we've had some freezing issues with some pipes and meters around town. The sheriff's office and district attorney's new building up there lost water yesterday morning, as well as the post office and a few residents around the town. It was nothing that, you know, we couldn't remedy within a little bit of time, though. So let's see here. The other thing of interest is we have a wireless carrier that has some equipment on our water tanks on the south end of town. And those specific pieces of equipment facilitate a direct signal to Gold Hill and then on to Silver City for wireless internet. The equipment was mounted many years back and was mounted on some of the vent openings on these water tanks, and over time it's created an issue whereby the vents have started to pop loose. So I had made contact with the individual, and he's going to get up here in the next day or two and see how to best resolve. I told him I don't mind them using the site, but they may have to put up a small tower maybe behind the tank or something that's not real visible, so I don't think it would. So then we can facilitate the repairs we need to make to those vents. So we're in compliance with the Safe Drinking Water Act. And that's about all I have for you today, unless you guys have any questions or concerns.
Well, you're doing a fine job on that snow plow, and I don't care what them Flatlanders say.
Yeah,
so I think it's been this real freezing weather. I understand that some of the homes that are vacation homes are breaking pipes and so the residents will see that they're leaking water, and there's a lot of water running. Who's the point of contact to report those kinds of issues?
Generally, 911 would be, or, you know, the sheriff's dispatch business, 847-0950, you know. I mean, if you got water running and you call our office and there's nobody there, I mean, it directs them to call the dispatch, but, yeah, definitely so. You know, that's a good point. Maybe I don't see anybody from the newspaper here, but, you know, we have that on our recorded line, too.
I know the question's come up of where to report when they see that kind of an issue, and I didn't know whether it'd be the building department or your department or
our department initially, and then, you know, especially for Virginia City, Gold Hill, Silver, the TRI, you know, we generally make contact with their gentlemen out there, and then Canyon would be Mitch or Dennis out there. So, but if they call the dispatch center, they're going to be directed to the right area, the right person. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Austin. The man in black.
Well, commissioners, chairman, thank you. I just want to give you a little bit of an update on our workforce development endeavors that we're doing. As you know, work out at Tri-Center as well as Virginia City on workforce development, economic development, workforce training, and public transportation. And so kind of some of the challenges I'm seeing out of Tri-Center and up here, but more so out there, is the same people that are receptive to our endeavor are continually to be, and the ones that are not are continually not being. So I'm kind of looking at new ideas, new strategies, and something creative outside the box to try to reach our companies out there and not just let them know that we're here to help, but actually get them connected to some of the needs they have with workforce, meaning getting employees or getting employees connected with the companies or vice versa. It seems to be picking up gradually over time, especially in Virginia City. I'm seeing more inquiries now that are coming to me, and some of them, ironically, are for other counties. They're saying, you know, Austin, Douglas County's looking for somebody that has a, you know, for a Subway restaurant, whatever, and so I get them connected with them, and then they're, oh, thank you guys so much and everything, but we work with Douglas County, we work with Washoe and all of our neighbors in this. And so a lot of times they'll get stuff that's related to us, and we'll get stuff that's related to them. As far as I'm concerned, it's a wash, help each other out. So I am working with some of our agencies on some new ways that probably the next meeting or the next couple meetings I'll be able to share some new out-of-the-box ideas on how we're doing this. I'm working real carefully with the community chest up here in Virginia City, who has been a real great resource, particularly Sabrina from the community chest, who works real closely with our businesses up here. The challenges we're seeing out here are no different than our neighboring counties. I call the EDs and the other counties and saying, you know, this is kind of the roadblock I'm running into. What do you guys see? Same exact thing. Same, you know, same thing exactly. So we're all kind of going to benefit from this. Part of workforce development is K-12 and higher education. And I thought, well, why not? Let's get our schools involved in this. Every year we get an intern from the high school that comes up and helps do some paperwork and filing and things like that and get some credits for the school program. This year I'm working with their government teacher, the principal's aware of it and endorsing it and the superintendent's aware, is to actually develop a curriculum that has goals and standards and objectives and an actual structure that the kids, we're going to have two interns from there, both seniors, that are going to go through an entire special use permit or variance application, including the planning commission and developing goals and findings and research and all of that. So I'm kind of excited to see how that goes, and it'll help the schools, the students, as well as it'll help us with some of those resources. And that's about it at this point. I just want to let the audience know, too, that this Thursday, the Planning Commission meeting, I'm going to give a full presentation on our population trends and our population projections for the next 20 years, and then we're going to start a blank canvas goals and objectives workshop on starting to build up what we want to be. So that's it. Any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Austin. Pat, is there anything?
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, we had a few things that we were working on. Our Lockwood substation, we're finally operating out of that. Fighting some of the winter issues, we've, I was up there with Sergeant Dozen fixing some holes in the roof, and we had some rock put in. Today, Job Corps is out there, and they're building the public ramps for handicap access and doing all that, so we're getting there with that building. At the end of this week, we're bringing on a new part-time admin assistant, Samantha Loper, so she'll be helping relieve some of the stress and duties that I've been putting on Melissa down there. Let's see here. We've had some good news on our BIA contract for housing inmates. We had some dialogue with them, and they're working on the contract in D.C., so we're hoping soon. They gave us a call with some emergency bed requests, but we're kind of still working the contract. So our school liaison, he was supposed to start here about a week ago due to some staffing needs and stuff. We had to adjust some shifts around, so he's going to be there. I have him attending some safety meetings, and I'm going to be going down there with him as well, getting him up to speed. And for the disposal boxes for the med drop-offs, in the past we've been working with temporary locations with the DEA. We're working on getting a permanent location with a steel lockbox so we don't have to man that and have that in the lobby of the jail so people can drop that off 12 months out of the year. So, and outside of that, that's all I have. Any questions?
It's going to be quite a mud hole up there at the new building.
Oh, it is.
The temperature finally gets up. Dean.
Thank you, Commissioners.
You brought a pillow. It's time to go to sleep now.
Thank you. Just to report that we have worked with the companies that are out there in the industrial park, and they have all been approved and in operation now. Even a new one that's on your first reading has been completed with everything and all the inspections. So fire has been working very diligent to work with those companies, and they have all passed. Also, I want to let you know that I have had some calls with some new inquiries of companies coming. We're working with those. Unfortunately, most of you know that a lot of times right off the bat, we have to sign disclosures that we can't say anything. And so this is a normal thing that comes right up that they call us. They want to move quickly, and they'll be up in front of you guys probably someplace in March. But right now we can't say anything about what they are or who they are and things. I don't even know who they are at this point. I'm talking with lawyers out of New York City. Also had a meeting today, first kickoff meeting, and I will announce that with the Economic Development Committee, Lance has been assigned to that board. And first Wednesday of February, we will be sending invites out to our team to start working with economic development for the whole county, including Virginia City, other areas, on the backside of Highway 50, talking, putting our goals and our mission together, and then we'll be having monthly meetings with the team. Also, we've been requested to take a tour of the county with that team so they can see all the different areas available for development on that. So we're going to be working forward with that. With that, I will say that I have been asked my department to start looking at maybe changing the business licenses a little bit. We're doing a lot of investigation from the Secretary of State, the Department of Taxation. Our business license fees have been the same since 1996, so we're looking at the different opportunities to bring in some funds to help economic development on businesses and help promote current businesses here in Virginia City and throughout the county. With that, we have been studying and been asked by County Manager Whitten to look at other counties, and to my eyes just today, from Fernley, some others, we're way low on our business licenses. Unfortunately, one of the things, a lot of them, Washoe County that we can't do, City of Sparks and City of Reno, is they charge a gross revenue. You have to report your gross revenues, and then you pay your business license based on that. We're not set up to do that. We don't have the staff to do that, and we don't want to do that. A lot of them charge on a base on employees. I don't like that because we want companies to hire people. not be penalized for hiring people. Fernley does that straight. Your business license is flat based out on how many employees you hire. And so we're looking at different ways. We don't see this to increase that much, very much at all. And then the process is we would have to put it in the newspapers. A resolution would have to be put in front of you before this can happen. But we'd like to get it all done before we send out the renewals somewhere at the end of May, 1st of June, to all the companies. Currently, we have 853 business licenses. Only about 143, within here, about 500 of those are in county. The rest of them are out of county. And we see some opportunities that we're missing with some trucking companies that don't actually have a building. Our business license is based off of square footage, employees, and a rate, a standard application fee. We have some companies out there that have 5 and 15 acres that's just full of trucking and stuff with no building. And so we're relooking at that on an acreage, too, on some of those bigger companies that might have 500 trucks and trailers running out of their yards. So with that, if you have any questions, thank you.
Vanessa.
Just a reminder that financial disclosure statements and ethics acknowledgments are due today. I'm going to email that out. That's it.
Today. Like I got some overtime.
Okay. Bill?
I went down to the Veterans Administration this morning and got some barnacles removed. And so I'll probably wander around with this bandage on my head for a while, but it's nothing serious. So.
Barnacle Bill from over the hill.
I have nothing else.
Pal, no barnacles?
I want to thank Mr. Maddox for missing this morning's meetings. They were some of the most productive, and without legal counsel there to impede our
It's about the only time I'd rather have been there this morning where I was at.
Looking out at the audience, I noticed that there's a friendly face that we almost could literally call on as staff. There's a gentleman out there, Mr. Ron James, that I can't think of a better friend to Virginia City, Gold Hill, the Comstock, and Story County. If you see trucks out there from United Electrical right now, a couple years ago, Ron personally helped us, professionally helped us, but get the money to do a historic structures preservation study on this courthouse. And while guys like Joe Curtis and others have us living in fear of unreinforced masonry and the fact it's going to fall down, the bottom line is that study done very professionally indicated the sucker's going to burn down probably before it falls down in a quake. So again, with Ron's help over the many years and his dedication and love for all buildings up here, we've got progress going on. So I thank you, and I wish you a very happy retirement. I wish I was out there somewhere with you. So, also wish Holly was still here to take the kudos. You know, when you've got employees that made their mark in such a short period of time, we don't go with the proclamations and all that fancy stuff. But, you know, in just a few short years, Holly has, you know, stepped in and taken the good work that Mary Lou had done and helped really put a ribbon and a bow on it and make it legally sound. I'm proud to announce that, you know, we've prevailed in every adverse action that I can think of so far materially. You can't avoid all lawsuits, but we certainly can take sound actions, you know, to make sure that when you're sued, you still prevail. And through her great leadership on the human resource side, and just many other areas, our social service, health and human services, our grant administration, you know, there again, I think Mr. James would probably attest we might have fumbled a little bit from time to time in complying, and I thank Holly. To that end, though, I'm proud to say that at least on the interim basis, we've got a new person stepping up to the plate with grant compliance that understands that she's been doing this for several years now for Joe Curtis under the emergency management side of the house. And Sherry Nevin is going to help us with grant attainment as well as grant compliance, because the one thing that Ron and everybody have drilled into us is it's one thing to ask for the money, but when we give it to you, if you ever want any more in the future, you better cross the T's and dot the I's like you promised that you would. So Sherry Nevin will be taking on grant compliance and grant attainment globally for the county. I'm sorry I haven't had a chance to talk to you about that, Joe. But, in the meantime, while we look for replacements and strategies for replacements as to how we replace Holly, we're going to follow the same program that we have for the last 90 days while she was off on family medical leave, and that is human resource items will be primarily handled by myself and with some help from Jesse Fain when the budgets allow. And Health and Human Services and Indigent Services will be primarily headed by Susan Breilenberg, who's done it well so far. So we're working through those. Just to alert the Commission primarily, as I've had two requests from key work teams, specifically the VCTC and also the Planning Commission, we'll probably be looking in the near future, perhaps as early as February or March, at joint workshops. Where we'd like to bring the collective power of both boards together. We also need to structure that with Mr. Maddox to make sure we don't go afoul of the open meeting law in the process. But, you know, I would think, again, with a new commission, it's important that these support and working partners that we have know what you feel the direction might be and also that you know where we're headed. So expect those. I wish I could tell you where the next legislative session is heading. I can't, other than to say they'll be convening early next month. And as I outlined last meeting last week, we've got our lobbyist programs in place. By the way, the Government Affairs Director, former Commissioner Hess, will be registering and will be going to the same ethics class that I'll be registering and going to that all of us have to go through now that he's no longer an elected official. So. But we do have a legislative reception scheduled with our other three county partners. This is scheduled for the evening of February 5th. You'll be getting invitations from the Carson City Manager's office or the Board of Supervisors, one of the two. It will be held down at what used to be Doppelgangers, which is now High Sierra Brewery. Same place as the NACO reception was held that night. And they invite the entire legislature there. The turnout fees were excellent. Pretty low key. I'll be submitting a small list of support staff to be added to that. But we've asked the staff that if you say you're going to go, please go, because all four local jurisdictions, Carson, Lyon, Douglas, and ourselves, are really trying to limit the cost impacts of this for obvious reasons. So February 5th. And then, I hate to sound ominous here, but on Friday, our IT department is going to take an 11-year-old Outlook server that is the backbone for our email and all other calendaring programs and everything, and basically call it dead and install a new one. We've been warned that there will be email bounce backs to people for probably... We're going to do this Friday night, so probably emails going out over the weekend will be highly problematic. I would encourage you to use your own personal emails during that period of time. And then it will take several days to a week or two for our two-person IT team to really be able to get out and patch to your individual computers and cell phones and everything. It's a gargantuan task. We have, I believe, close to 250 users last count that I saw. Between volunteers and people that we work with on those types of teams. So there will be pain. I apologize. I know a couple of you are just learning new words like Pony Express and all that stuff, and we're going to change that all come Monday or Tuesday, but that's just the nature of the beast. So, and I do want to add when we're trying to spend a little more time giving, especially to new gentlemen, as much background as we can, and take notes when somebody like Chief Deputy Fletcher gets up and says Sam Loper starts on Monday, I think you said, or whenever she starts. This is a cool program. You know, that office 2 years ago had two full-time people in it, and full-time people with, you know, the benefits, the PERS, and all that stuff. And through you know, good management like Sheriff Antonaro and Chief Deputy Fletcher, and also our district attorney, same program. We've taken each of those offices, and our new staffing models are one full-timer and one less than half-time, and the less than half-time is beneficial in a multitude of ways. We don't, our collective bargaining agreements don't have benefits on those as far as those loads, and the big one for us is PERS. As long as we work under 1,039 hours, and we're not doing any game juggling where we're hiring two less than half-timers, you know, these are different offices with different staffs, but it's important that, you know every cost-saving opportunity that we can. Polly's departure will undoubtedly result in cost savings to the organization, much as I hate to say that, but that's just the way we have to look at each one of these. Steve Fates as well. So that's it, unless you have any questions of me, which you do every day. So.
Okay. Good.
I'd just like to make a comment. I'd like to thank all of the staff and all the departments, everyone that's gotten up and shared. There's a large learning curve here. And I think it's interesting for everybody here in the audience, certainly myself, there's a lot of things going on out there in our county. And a lot of different disciplines being followed, a lot of challenges, and they're all coming from your desk, from your department. And I personally thank you so very much for the time you're taking and the reports. And I'm enjoying getting acquainted with each and every one of you, and thank you for that.
All righty. Leon, come on down. You're on the wrong price, or whatever that is. Bring your gang with you. I know you got some setup to do, and I'll read you. I'll make you the official. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good. Okay, item number 15, discussion, no action, presentation from BLM. And I know a lot of folks are here waiting for that. And when you're ready.
Well, I think we'll use the PowerPoint for the second half, so I can just go ahead and get started.
Do whatever you need.
For the record, good afternoon, Chairman, Commissioners. I'm Leon Thomas. I'm the field manager for the Sierra Front Field Office, Carson District BLM. And we're here today to talk about the plan of development and right-of-way application. We call it the American Flat Lucerne Access right-of-way application that the Comstock Mining Company has put through our office. And we're going to talk about the NEPA process and the next steps as we go through the NEPA process. Before I get started on that, though, what I'd like to do is I'd like to just give a quick introduction to members of my staff. I have Brian Budazone here, who's our planning environmental coordinator. Looks like he's our quasi-IT guy right now as well. I have Eric Pinata, who is our lands and realty specialist. I have Rachel Cruz, who's our archaeologist. And we also have our district public affairs officer, Lisa Ross, here. I wanted to introduce them because they're the real brains behind the operation. And if I get stuck, I'm going to spin around one of them. And I don't want you all to think that I was just trying to get help from random members of the public. just as a quick background for new commissioners, we had to issue a cease and desist back in May and a possible trespass to Comstock Mining because they were trying to access their go from their pit to their leach facilities, and they were crossing some public road segments and public land without proper authorization. So our goal in issuing that cease and desist was to ensure that they did get the proper authorization through the proper analysis through NEPA. We also had some, you know, public safety concerns as we had some privately owned vehicles jockeying with haul trucks and things on the American Flat Road. So I just wanted to make sure as the new field manager that everything was being done legally and safe out there. So currently the authorizations that Comstock Mining is operating under is that they are doing some mining on their own private segments, the Billy the Kit mine and the Lucerne mining pit, and they are doing it under a special use permit that was issued by Story County in 2004, amended in 2011. When I issued that cease and desist, Comstock Mining felt that, you know, going through the entire analysis without being able to move anything from their pit to the processing facility would put the company in a financial hardship type situation. So what I did in July was we issued a right-of-way for them to be able to use some of the public land segments on American Flat Road. In August, they came in with a full-fledged plan of development and a right-of-way application, and this is the analysis that we're currently going to get underway. So the real question behind before BLM is whether we can authorize through analysis the right-of-way for the road segments needed for them to access their processing facility from their pit. BLM will not be making any decisions on whether they're going to be doing any mining on public land. CMI has not issued a plan of operations. They have not come forward with us to us to do any mining on public land for a plan of operations. And so this is just strictly a right-of-way application for the road segments needed to access their facility. We have determined that through the analysis process through NEPA, we will not be needing to do an environmental impact statement. We're thinking that the level of impacts out there or the significant effects will only require that we do an environmental assessment or an EA. So on November 26, Comstock Mining and the BLM has entered into agreement as to how we're going to approach the NEPA process and the EA through a memorandum of understanding. And on December 5th, we had our initial kickoff meeting. December 18th, our cultural resources staff met with the State Historic Preservation Officer to discuss the project and how to meet National Historic Preservation Act requirements for consultation. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Brian. He's going to walk us through the next steps as far as the NEPA process.
And excuse me just for a minute to see if I can jockey the IT equipment here without knocking anything over. We need to
Brian, they usually use that table.
Right here.
This table here.
You can move it anywhere we need to move it. There you go.
So what we are doing today is providing the commissioners with a briefing, and as Leon has talked about, a little bit of where we were, some of the issues that have come up during 2012, and beginning in August and then with the consummation of a memorandum of understanding in November, we came to an agreement that an environmental assessment would be required for us to comply with both the National Environmental Policy Act and the National Historic Preservation Act to amend an existing right-of-way that they have with us for use of the American Flat Road. So last Monday, we went to the Lyon County Commissioners meeting and did this briefing for them to give them an update and let them know where we were going ahead over the next 30 days. And today we're giving you this briefing. Tomorrow there'll be official notification to the media. And then we've also, through Comstock Mining's consulting firm, created a mailing list. And there will be a notification going out in the mail, actually went out this afternoon, to a mailing list of residents and businesses adjacent to the project area. And so all that notification is all kicking into place. And then tomorrow we'll actually have a website active that will have more maps than what we had previously provided the commissioners. Hopefully you saw those maps get to you of what we're initially looking at. We're in the preliminary stages of this process. We're kicking this off officially as a briefing to the commissioners today, and Thursday we'll be at the Planning Commission meeting, but it will be a duplication of this. So I'm just putting this out to yourselves and the public who are in attendance today. They're going to hear the same thing from us Thursday night as they're hearing from us today. If they want additional information, they're going to need to, beginning tomorrow, go to our website and
They can also go to, hopefully I'm going to scroll down here correctly, officially our scoping period for 30 days begins on Thursday, and it will end on February 16th, 2013. During that scoping period, we will have information on the website, which will be maps. We'll have a comment form. We'll have additional information as to what the scope of this project is. And we will have two workshops or open houses during this 30-day period. So the first one that's going to occur is next Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m. at the BLM office in Carson City from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. And then the next meeting will be held on Tuesday, January 29th at the Piper's Opera House from 6:30 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. And during both of those open houses or workshops, we're going to have maps laid out. We're going to have information that the public can pick up. We're going to have the comment forms available and also the mechanism for the public to add their names onto our mailing list. During those two workshops or open houses, we're not going to be in a hearing format. So we're not going to have a microphone and have folks line up and give speeches or comments in that format. Instead, folks will be looking at the individual tables of information and using the comment forms that we provide. And then again, they'll also be able to go onto our website to make comments. We'll be doing almost an identical presentation like we're doing today at 6:45 p.m. and at 7:45 p.m. So again, putting it out to the public that they don't all need to rush our meetings immediately at 6:30 p.m. in the evening, because essentially halfway through that two-hour workshop, we're going to repeat the same information that we started with at the beginning of the meetings. And those maps and all that information will remain out there for that whole 2 hours. So, again, we have two workshops coming up, 22nd and 29th of January. This is all because we're being triggered. We're requiring an environmental assessment to comply with the National Environmental Policy Act and the National Historic Preservation Act. And during this assessment, we'll be looking at the effects to the resources from this haul road, and this is all we're speaking of is a haul road here, not mining activities. We'll be looking at the biological and the cultural resources. There will be a draft document that will eventually be put out, probably about the middle of 2013, that will describe our analysis, and that will also have with it a 30-day comment period. And during that 30-day review period, we'll have two public meetings. To meet the National Historic Preservation Act, we will also be engaged with talking to Native American tribes in the area, the State Historic Preservation Officer. Because we're involved in a national landmark and a national registered district, there will be also conversations with the National Park Service and the Advisory Commission on Historic Preservation, because they all have a regulatory authority and role in what's going on federal lands and national landmarks and national registered districts. And, of course, there'll be plenty of opportunity for public input and consultation. And I myself am the project manager for this aspect of this project, and I'll be the primary contact where individuals can call or email me as we go through this process. They'll see my name out there and my email address out there repeatedly for the point of contact for more information on when meetings are occurring. Again, what the scope of the project is, when they'll have later opportunity for input when we have a draft document out for public review. So that concludes what I can add to in the PowerPoint, but I want to open the briefing up to questions from the commissioners that either Leon, I, or any of the other BLM staff that are here you can offer us. If you do want me to flash up any of the two maps that I'd given the commissioners before, I do have the maps available with me. If I need to put that on the screen, I can, if there's something in particular we need to try to address. But we're here for your comments at this point.
Let me go ahead.
Brian, we're going to need the website for a you referred to the website a couple times. If we can have that, we can put in some of our publications.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
I think it goes without saying that from the county staff to the Comstock Residents Association Comstock Mining. Our goal and our focus right now is to get the haul trucks off the state highway as quickly as possible. That is the paramount thing that we need to do. I want to make it clear that this process needs to move along quickly because we're interested in it. We're interested in the jobs, the economic development, so on and so forth. So those are my comments for the moment, commissioners.
In your presentation, you mentioned that this process started back in July, give or take, and I think it was August, that you issued a temporary holdout for CMI?
We actually authored a right-of-way for them to be able to use the American Flat Road, which crosses public land, and we did that in July. They came in with a plan of development and a right-of-way application for the other road segments that they need in August.
So they weren't able to use the American Flat access?
They were not. They were using it without proper authorization.
I see.
And so we got them, they brought in the application, and we got them to where they were doing it the right way.
In the process, I understand in mid-2013 that there'll be the result, I'm not sure what the proper term is, but you'll have an advisory document that'll come out mid-year 2013 as to the findings that BLM will have. And then I understand there'll be a 30-day comment period following that that document. Is that correct?
So what the scope or the request before us is to amend the current right-of-way that Comstock Mining has with us. And I'm just going to show you in really small fashion here. We all know that they're currently using Highway 342 as a portion of their haul road from their pit area to their heap leach processing facility. The American Flat right-of-way authorization, which we issued on July 6th, covers the blue line here. And the amendment that they have before us is, as you are indicating, the goal of the amendment is to take the trucks off the highway by using another alternative road that we'll be referring to as the Lucerne Haul Road. And that, again, achieves the goal of taking material from the pit area over the heat leak facility and removing those trucks from the highway. But in doing that, this haul road crosses a different group of segments of public land. So while we've provided an interim measure for them to use the American Flat Haul Road, American Flat Road, and the public land segments that it crosses, this Lucerne Haul Road, even all the way down here by the pit area, not far from the pit, actually begins to cross public land segments. So in order for us to facilitate this, we have to amend their current right-of-way, and in order for us to get to that amending, we have to go through a new analysis, and this is what we're initiating this week, this new analysis for this new haul.
The report will come out mid-13.
So a draft document of the analysis will come out probably summer of 2013, and then that will lead us to maybe in the fall to early winter stage of issuing a decision on that document. But I'm going to make sure Leon talks about some of the other interim. There's an interim discussion that's also taking place here because, again, I can't project out the timeline for us right now as to when we're going to reach this amendment and this decision document. It might be 8 months. It might be a year before that happens. But we're also having some interim discussions about some other solutions, again, to address this use of Highway 342. So we've got a path we're starting now that could take 8 months to a year for us to complete, but there's also some other interim discussions that are going on is what can we do during this stage while we're processing this application? And maybe Leon wants to describe a little bit more about that than I can.
Yeah, I would, Leon, go ahead, because I think I'd like to hear some alternative solutions to this. We're talking a year now, and that's unacceptable.
Right now, there's a... Can you please put that map back up there?
Figure out some way to get get those trucks off the road quicker. If you got some ideas, boy, I'd be a hero.
The segment's right there. You have the pointer? Right. Segment's right in the middle where we have the what is called Lot 51.
Correct.
Have had a color of title application come through our office from CMI basically stating that they felt that that area right there was private. It's looking like that they've met most of the requirements of the application, or all the requirements of the application for us to put it through. And what that means is that once we go through the proper process of ensuring that, you know, it's cadastrally surveyed by the Nevada State Cadastral Team, and that they, you know, purchase the land at fair market value, yada, 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 we may be able to remedy that situation as far as a color of title application. In the interim, because that could take just as long as this process takes, you know, getting things surveyed and everything else. In the interim, if it looks like our state leadership, BLM state leadership, is going to accept this application as being true and final, I may have some authority to go ahead and allow some of the use across that Lot 51 in the interim while we're going through the rest of the NEPA analysis to remedy the rest of the road segments. What this will do, as you all know, is get the trucks off of most of the highway.
Yes, and I can't emphasize this enough. This is, you know, I talked to Senator Reid's office, Senator Heller's office, Pat and I, he doesn't know it yet, have a meeting with Senator or Congressman Amity's office next week, and so from our office all the way up to that big office on Pennsylvania Avenue, there is a direct link, and we need to get this thing working right away, because this is jobs, and neat development. So wow, that's good news. I'm glad to hear that. I think you appreciate you. How long?
Can I just mention that, you know, one of the things we're going to be working very hard over the next couple of weeks is very clearly defining to the public what the scope of this is. I'm expecting to get inundated with comments on one side or the other regarding positions about mining in Story County. Those comments are not actually relevant to the question at hand before us. So we very deliberately and diligently letting the public know what is within our authority and what is not within our authority, what the scope of this project is. And if we're successful in communicating that and informing and educating the public as to what the limits of the scope of this project is, we may be successful in moving this authorization along at a faster pace. Right now, until we get these meetings started in this official 30-day period, I can't tell what the temperature gauge is going to be. But we're ramping up, and we're ready to go, and we're ready to facilitate this authorization.
I mean, it's 30 days.
Well, as far as the color of title application, we sent a determination of acceptance letter, a draft, up to our solicitor. Was it last week, Eric, where we did that? And so we're waiting for our solicitor to review it. He just got back off of his Christmas vacation on Monday. And so he told us he'd get to that as soon as he can. Once we feel, you know, or he feels comfortable with it, we're going to send that on to our state office. With a situation like this where we have land moving out of the public ownership and going to patent, as a field manager, I don't have the authority to sign it. That is signed by our deputy state director. And so in the interim, though, I do or will have the authority to be able, like I said, to make some calls as far as what can and can't happen in crossing the road segment. So we met with CMI yesterday. And we talked through some of the possibilities as far as what we're going to do. They would like to try a different type of haul truck across the public lands and things of that nature. So they're going to come in and give me a presentation on the variations between the semis and the haul trucks and the impacts on the road, on the highway, things of that nature. So once we get all of that behind us, I'll be able to make a decision as far as that. Just do know that I'm going to move this thing along as fast as I possibly can to do what we can, if we can, to get the trucks off of the highway.
Great. Anyone else here have anything, questions? Public, any questions? Come on up, and we need to have you come up to the podium so we can get it recorded. But remember, your questions are only on, as we like to call it here, Area 51.
My name is Gail Sherman. I'm with Comstock Residents Association. And I just want to clarify what our position is. You kindly made reference to us, but it was just a little bit off. We are not happy with the trucks on Highway 342. The trucks on Highway 342.
Well, none of us are.
Exactly. But there's a longer view of the situation. It's not a short-term view. It's a long-term view. And what's happening is the National Historic Public Landmark is being degraded.
This is only on Lot 51 and that particular haul road. Remember that?
I remember.
Okay.
And so our position is that BLM are stewards of public land, and we applaud their efforts to make sure that the environment and the historic lands are protected.
They will be. They will be. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Clay Mitchell. My family owns some property in Gold Hill. I just had a couple of questions. Specifically, I was wondering if there was a way to account for the time between when this transpired in the summer and where we are now, if this is the fastest the process moves or if there was some reason there was a delay.
That's our question, too, on getting access to that. And I think that Leon just explained that to us, that we're close. It's going to be tough to put a date on it. I'd like to say 30 days, but
okay.
You get them off the highway.
Sure. Is that something? I mean,
well,
as far as
timeline, we did not get a completed plan of development and right of way application until August.
Okay.
And so we were going back and forth working with CMI to ensure that we had all the necessary pieces, so that our staff could go ahead and set the stage for what analysis would be done. So it was working with CMI and getting all the necessary pieces together. Now, that's what was taking most of the time.
Between August and now, is that, or up until August?
Up until August, and then even August until now on some pieces. And do know that currently we're also working the color title application side as well. So we were kind of in lockstep and getting both processes going at the same time.
Great, thank you. The second question I have is, when a county road crosses public lands, the restrictions on usage, are those simply because it's a mining-related activity, or is it possible for the BLM to come in and say, this can't be used for access, access can be revoked if it's determined that it's crossing public lands? In this case, I'm talking about American Flats Road. The restriction, the cease and desist, seems to be, and correct me if I'm wrong, because of the mining-related activity on that road, because it's been used for personal transport forever, and there's never been a cease and desist. I guess I'm trying to understand, the land records here in Story County are confusing, to say the least, and so often we use roads assuming that the road is actually there and passable, and I'm, as a landowner, I'm trying to make sure that we'll be able to continue that and assess the risk of having the right of passage taken away, potentially, when a road crosses public land.
It was mostly because of the activity that was going on without authorization out on the road. But if we had anybody doing anything out there on the public land or on the public road that was detrimental to public health and safety, in our view, we do hold the right to be able to deter that type of activity.
Okay. And then when there's a question of ownership, is it normal to presume that that private ownership is not there? Because, and I'll take our land for example, I believe according to your map, our land is not privately owned, and yet it sits on one of the original patents in the heart of the lode. The reason I'm concerned is because we have an old historic mill building on it. It's hard for us to claim it's not mining related. And so I'm concerned that I'm trying to do something with that asset to create some jobs and generate some economic activity, and I'm concerned that I don't have the surety that we'll actually be able to do anything with that land, because at any time the BLM could come in and give us a cease and desist, tell us we can't use the land because the question's not clear.
I think we're drifting off a little.
I am, and I apologize.
Well, but I know your situation at some point, and so we'll address that there.
Great. Well, I would add my voice as well, encouraging the swiftest possible processing of this procedure. Thank you.
My secret messages here. And any other public comment or questions from anyone that would like to put Leon on the spot or everyone?
Can I just clarify to the commissioners the time frame that Leon was talking about? So they Comstock Mining submitted us a plan of development and an application. The plan of development kind of explains in map format and descriptive format what they'd like to do on the landscape, the public lands and the private lands parts of this. It took us about 3 months to work with Comstock Mining and the consultants, and they have multiple consultants working on this, to get it ripe enough for us to make a determination of what level of NEPA is required. It took us about another 2 months to work with Comstock Mining to work out the financial arrangement and to satisfy that we had the right level of compliance necessary. As you're going to hear, there's a great deal of community interest that anything in that area is triggering an environmental impact statement. So before we could reach that determination that an EA satisfies the need here for the Hall Road, we had to go through that iterative process ourselves. And then at the end of November, we reached the agreement with them on moving forward. So it may seem like things are stretching out, but things have been happening in the background consistently and in good faith on both sides. And yesterday we met with them again, and we continue to work under that program of good faith and processing their application and moving this process forward. And that's brought us to today in this presentation.
Brian, let me ask you this, or and Leon, either one of you or the rest. Is there anything that any of you could think of that Story County could do proactively to expedite this whole process? Anything that comes to mind that we could do for you or help you with? Or
I think you've been extremely helpful already. I think you know, you guys have gone on tours with us. We've been in constant communication, not only with us but the delegation and things of that nature. So right now, nothing comes to mind that you could do. Just continue to keep the lines of communication open so that we can make sure that we're all, you know, on the same page as we try to move through this.
We're pecking away at solving a lot of these issues down there. I think we've I addressed Comstock residents here, what was it, about a month ago? And I think we cleared up any of the concerns about mercury contamination and things like that, and I want to make it clear that we're not going to shut down Comstock Mining, even if we have the authority to control our trucks on the road, we'd still let them use it. We're not going to shut the operation down. It's going to continue, and so we've got to get into a position where we can mitigate as many of these concerns as possible. I know that obviously we're not going to make everyone happy on either side 100%, but whatever we can do that is legal and right and expeditious to get this thing moving along, we'll do it. And I want to thank you all from BLM today for your extreme patience. 4 o'clock already. I know you got expecting to walk in and get through all of this, and I do want to apologize and I thank you for hanging around this long. Okay, one more time. Anyone with anything at all for BLM?
Can I just
Brian, go,
to
you go right ahead.
I will send Pat the news release directly tomorrow morning when we issue it, and it will include the website.
We can get that out to the public.
Yes. Yes. That's great. Yep.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you, gang.
Thank you.
Everyone else. Anybody need a potty break or anything? You want a quick recess? Okay, let's take 10.